You are Locked On Rams, your daily Los Angeles Rams podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Rams Nation, what is going on? You guys know the deal by now. It is your boy, Sosa Cremenjas, a.k.a. a fantasy analyst at Pro Football Focus, and your host of the Locked On Rams podcast, your number one daily podcast covering the Los Angeles Rams. Today's episode is brought to you by Built Bar. Go to BuiltBar.com and use the promo code LOCKEDON and you'll get 20% off your next order. Welcome to the final episode of this week's Locked On Rams pod. This is going to be your Fan Mail Friday edition of the pod. We made it through another week of the offseason, 1 week closer to the draft, free agency, all of that good stuff, and the Matthew Stafford trade becoming official. But in this episode, we're going to go through all the questions you guys submitted to me, so I appreciate you guys for shooting them over like you always do. But just before we dive into all of that, there is one piece of news I got to update you guys with here, and that is that the Rams have had a pre-draft meeting via Zoom with wide receiver Dwayne Eskridge, and that's according to my guy Justin M. Shout out to my boy Justin for shooting that info over. And this is pretty fascinating news to me because we've talked about it over the past few weeks. I've mentioned many names, guys like John Ross, Marvin Hall, Tutu Atwell, Jalen Darden, so on and so forth. I think the Rams are going to be in play when it comes to adding to the receiver room this offseason, specifically looking at guys that are going to be very talented and productive with the ball in their hands and taking the top off the defense. And Dwayne Eskridge is exactly that style of player. Looking at the PFF numbers and the PFF draft guide, which you guys know by now, I've highlighted on here multiple times. This resource is unreal. Eskridge actually ranked first in yards after the catch per reception among all the draft eligible receivers with 14.4 yards after the catch per reception. He ranked third in receiving yards per reception in all of college football with 23.1, and that is with a minimum filter of 25 targets to kind of weed out the guys with lower sample sizes. And again, in all of college football, he ranked second in yards per route run with 4.94. And all of these numbers are essentially efficiency metrics, which help us determine, you know, how productive guys are on a per touch, per catch basis. We don't want to know how many receiving yards a guy had because, you know, he might have 97 catches compared to another guy who only had 50 touches. So obviously the raw totals are going to be a bit different. That is why we look at the efficiency numbers. And that is why I think Eskridge would make a great pick for the Rams. Now, you know, it sounds like he's probably going to be a second, maybe a third round prospect. And he was at the Senior Bowl, so that is another tidbit we should note. And this makes two pre-draft Zoom visits that we know of with the Rams right now, with Eskridge being one, and the other that we talked about a few days ago with Quinn Meinerz, the interior offensive lineman from Wisconsin Whitewater. Ironically enough, both guys went to the Senior Bowl, and we did talk about this a few episodes ago, maybe a week or so ago, with Brad. And the Senior Bowl is a place that the Rams like to do business, so it makes sense why they interviewed both of these two players, and I think it's probably wise to actually keep our eyes on both of these guys when you really consider all of how the Rams draft and what needs they have going into the draft, and also the fact that both of these guys were at the Senior Bowl. Now we're going to dive into the questions, and the first one I'm going to talk about here is actually related to Quinn Meinerz, and it's from my guy Jason at Turbo Fargo. He said, how significant or not is the Zoom meeting the Rams had with Quinn Meinerz this early in the process? And I'm not exactly sure what the new rules are with the whole COVID stuff. Typically, teams would get 30 private visits with prospects, and that is what they usually typically do in your normal year. So I'm assuming that's probably the case with these pre-draft Zoom meetings. They're only going to get 30. I'm guessing. I don't know for sure. And if that is the case and, you know, these Zoom meetings replace the pre-draft actual campus or, you know, building visits, then I think they're very important because you only get 30 of these opportunities. You're probably going to want to vet the guys that you have the most questions about, the guys that you're most interested in drafting. And if that's the case, then you got to look at Eskridge and Meinerz as two players that the Rams could very well draft, and not only draft, but that they're going to be definitely interested in at least finding out more about. So very interesting, but I do think that both of these interviews are very significant. Going on to the next question from @FaceBoy, he said, not sure how many of the interior offensive linemen you've watched so far, but at pick 57, what order would you rank the following for our West Coast outside zone offense? And then he mentions Ben Cleveland, Deontay Brown, Landon Dickerson, Creed Humphrey, and Quinn Meinerz. And I haven't gotten around to watching all of them, but, you know, I do have friends in the scouting community that are very smart, that I trust their opinions, and I've seen the Senior Bowl and some tape, and then I obviously have the PFF numbers as well to back it up. So to rank it, for me, I would personally go Creed Humphrey first, Landon Dickerson second, Quinn Miners third, Deontay Brown fourth, and Ben Cleveland fifth. I don't know much about Cleveland, which is why I have to put him at the bottom. In terms of Brown, you know, he did play in Alabama, which is always good, but he's a guy that's big. I mean, he's weighing 360, 370 at his playing weight, and I don't think he fits the outside zone scheme very well. I think he's a much better fit for a gap scheme kind of offense, and the Rams do run some power, specifically with Cam Akers back there, but I think Brown is a bit overrated when it comes to the actual interior offensive line. I could see him lasting all the way up until the fourth round. Now, the top three, Quinn Miners, very talented, very good player. He reminds me a lot of guys like Ali Marpet, who were drafted in the past few years, Alex Kappa, guys that come out of small schools and absolutely dominate, vicious players, very strong. And another name, actually, Ben Bartsch from last year's draft. So, you know, this is a guy I'm very intrigued by. I don't know if he's going to be a center at the next level or a guard, but I do think he's going to eventually start for somebody, and I'm very intrigued by the potential of adding a guy like Miners. And then the top two, I mean, it's a toss-up to me. Creed Humphrey is the more safe player, I feel like, because of his lack of injury history. You know, he's got a lot of production under his belt, so to speak, at a big school in Oklahoma, and is actually a very talented player. Now, Landon Dickerson, on the other hand, he's very talented as well, and he might actually be the most talented center, but the issue is he's had a boatload of injuries dating back to his time at Florida State, and then his most recent injury, the torn ACL at Alabama this past season. So, you know, he might not even be ready to play in his rookie season. We don't know for sure. He might be able to, but again, the injury history is very worrisome, and that's something you have to always consider going throughout the draft process. And in the next segment, we're going to talk more about what the Rams already have on their roster and guys that I could see stepping up specifically on the defensive side of the ball. And while we've got you, come connect with us on Twitter for all the coverage you need on the Los Angeles Rams. You can find me at QB's MVP, and you can find the page at Locked On Rams. Built Bar produces some of the best protein bars on the market. I promise you guys, I've tried every protein bar you can imagine throughout my 155-pound weight loss journey, and this company makes the best protein bars, bar none. And they are having a flash sale for their new Coconut Puff Bar. It's a luscious chocolate soft marshmallow bar. It's made with a premium collagen protein blend. It's got 16 grams of protein, only 130 calories, and only 6 grams of sugar, and it is gluten-free, preservative-free, and it's available only for a limited time, aka a one-day sale, so you guys better order now at BuiltBar.com. We're covering everything you need to know about the Los Angeles Rams, but what about the rest of sports? Now the Locked On Podcast Network has you covered there as well with Locked On Today. It's hosted by the great Peter Bukowski, and it's all the sports news you need every morning in under 20 minutes. Subscribe to the Locked On Today podcast wherever you get podcasts. Welcome back to the second segment of this Fan Mail Friday edition. As always, I appreciate you guys for shooting over the questions that you do. It's always fun to get to chat with you guys, and you guys have a lot of good questions, man. I swear, you guys are really putting me on my toes here, so to speak, and making me kind of think and get into the back of my brain here. So I did mention in the final few seconds prior to the break that we're going to dive into more of what the Rams actually have on their roster right now. And I want to begin on the defensive side of the ball, and we'll sort of transition into the offensive side of the ball in a few questions. But we're going to begin with the defense. And this question is from at Will Carella. He said, what roles do you think Taylor Rapp and Terrell Burgess will have in our back end, aka the secondary? Maybe speculate who you think will take John Johnson's spot and who will fill Troy Hill's role, assuming both guys are gone. And that's a really good question. And I think you pretty much nailed it to some degree there, is that, you know, I expect Taylor Rapp to once again start for the Rams. I feel like, you know, if he had a healthy offseason and didn't really have those nagging injuries dating back to about a year ago, he probably starts the season next to John Johnson, and we don't really know what Jordan Fuller is. But, you know, I think Taylor Rapp is going to start specifically if John Johnson leaves, right? If he doesn't leave, if he finds a way to come back, then this is kind of moot. But again, we're going to operate under the assumption that John Johnson and Troy Hill are both leaving in free agency. And I do think in that regard, Rapp would replace John Johnson pretty well. I think they do a lot of things similarly. You know, Taylor Rapp is a guy that has amazing tackling ability in the open field, very sure tackler. He's very good at breaking down, you know, offensive ball carriers in terms of what their posture is like and knowing where he should attack when he's tackling. Very good in the open field, takes amazing angles to ball carriers. Now, he's a bit limited athletically, which kind of works out well because John Johnson is to some degree as well. Neither of these guys are, you know, safeties that are running 4.3s or 4.4s and have unlimited range, and that's not what kind of guys they are. They're both very similar in terms of physical guys, good tacklers, can cover tight ends man on man, can do a lot of different roles specifically on the back end. And so I do think that he's going to be a solid replacement. And then talking about Terrell Burgess, I think he might be the most versatile player in the secondary. You know, this is a guy that can play single high. He can play in two high safety looks. He can play in the box as a sub-packaged linebacker. He can play in the nickel spot. He can literally do anything you want out of him. He's very good at everything. He can cover guys one-on-one in man coverage. He can spot drop in zone coverage. He can cover deep zones in terms of the safety position. He can really do everything. So, you know, I think the Rams are going to be very multiple in how they want to use a guy like that. Maybe a little bit in the nickel, maybe a little bit in two high looks, probably the single high safety, maybe even some snaps as a pseudo linebacker in, you know, various dime packages and things like that. So I'm not sure that Terrell Burgess is really going to have that solidified position where we can really put our finger on, you know, he plays this role. He's probably going to be called a safety, but at the end of the day, you know, this is becoming a positionless sport, and you got to have guys that can do a variety of things with how much personnel offenses have these days. And I think that's why the Rams went to go get a guy like Burgess, and I think he's going to be a very versatile piece. So, you know, he's going to cover some of that Troy Hill role, but he's probably going to do a lot more than that. And I guess to answer the question, he's going to fill some of that Troy Hill role where Taylor Rapp will fill more of the John Johnson role. Now we're going to flip to the offensive side of the ball from my guy, Marty, at Marty Got Wings. He said, can Van Jefferson be a deep threat, or do you see us trying to sign a Marvin Jones type of receiver? And, you know, I think Van Jefferson can be a deep threat. It's not something that, you know, I think he's completely limited in terms of the speed, the ability to stack a cornerback, get vertical, and push the ball deep, and make those catches, you know, over the shoulder. We've seen it in week one against the Dallas Cowboys. That was one of the best throwing catches that we've seen from Goff and any given receiver all season. You know, we didn't see many deep balls like that. And I think it shows that, you know, he does have that skill set in his arsenal. But when you're talking about a guy that you want to produce maybe one of those plays a game or even just shift coverage, right? That's part of the reason you want to get a deep threat is you can place him solo in a 3-by-1 formation or whatever it might be, and he can dictate coverage. He's going to drag maybe another safety towards him, force the defense to kind of double cover him, so to speak. And so, you know, I don't know if Van Jefferson can do that. Now, I do think he can get over the top and catch a few passes, but if the Rams want a more dynamic guy, someone who's going to be more consistent with that role, someone who's going to take the top off the defense legitimately, somebody that can actually drag an extra defender out there, like a safety, to, you know, try and limit the ability to create big plays and then open up more of the underneath areas of the field for guys like Kupp and Woods, I think they should go to find a guy, maybe like a Marvin Jones, maybe a John Ross, maybe a Marvin Hall, maybe someone in the draft like Eskridge, who we talked about in the first segment. But, you know, I think Van Jefferson can fill that role. I think he can win deep, but I do think the Rams would be very wise to actually go get a more established, legitimate, consistent deep threat. The next question is from my guy Pete at Pissed Albanian. He said, do you think Daryl Henderson will go off and contribute as a third down pass catcher out of the backfield with a more accurate Matthew Stafford? Or do you think Cam Akers gets most of the work next year? And, you know, I think it's going to be somewhat of a mix. I do think Cam Akers is going to touch the ball 18 to 20 times per game. I think that's what the Rams want to do offensively. I do believe they're going to want to get him a little bit more involved in the passing game because Cam Akers wasn't really used as a receiver this past season, and I do think he has that capability. And in general, I think that they're going to want to use the running backs much more in the reception game because Darrell Henderson is a guy who's very capable with the ball in his hands. He's very explosive. We've seen a few of those Texas routes last season where Jared Goff just overthrew Henderson for a touchdown. I can't recall what game it was. And then, you know, a few weeks later, I believe, actually hit Darrell Henderson on that Texas route for a touchdown. And, you know, these are guys that can actually line up outside of the numbers, create some mismatches as receivers. And not only that, but just be those legitimate dump off options where if you don't have anyone open deep, you don't have anyone open your first, second, third read, however many reads you may have on a play, you can dump the ball off to these guys and the play isn't dead. It's not going to be like it was with Malcolm Brown, and no offense to Malcolm Brown, but he's just not a great creator, right? He catches the ball and he might make a guy miss here or there, but more often than not, where he catches the ball is typically where the play is going to end. Not with Akers and Henderson, though. We've seen it in the playoff game against the Seattle Seahawks. Jared Goff steps up in the pocket, dumps it off to Cam Akers, and he makes like three guys miss, breaks all three tackles, and turns what could have been a 6 or 7 or 10 yard gain into a 44 yard gain down the sidelines, moving the chains on 3rd and 11, and creating an explosive play in the passing game. So these are the reasons I think the Rams should utilize these guys more as receivers, but I do think Akers is going to have that 70 to 30 split as a runner. But then when you consider the passing game, it might be like a 50-50 split in the passing game. I do think Henderson has a role as a receiver, and I do think that the Rams are going to try to involve both guys in the offense next season. In the final segment after the break, we're going to continue with the final few questions talking about who I think the Rams may pay next when it comes to their hometown stars, and another topic about the uniforms. You guys know how much Rams fans are obsessed with those uniforms. And while we've got you, make sure to keep checking back with us next week on Monday when we continue our offseason coverage of the Los Angeles Rams. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Football might be over, but the NBA, college basketball, and the NHL are in full swing, and BetOnline even covers awards, TV shows, and reality TV. Get real-time updated odds and props on almost anything you can imagine. BetOnline has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It's the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. 2020 is mercifully over. It's time for a fresh start and a few more wins. If you're betting this year and want more wins, listen to Locked On Bets with your boy Q and Lee Sterling of Paramount Sports. They're picking college basketball, football, and NBA locks all winter long. Subscribe to Locked On Bets wherever you get podcasts. Welcome to the final segment of this Friday edition of the Locked On Rams pod. It's our last episode of the week together. Prior to diving into next week's episodes, we're going to do it all over again. We're going to continue our coverage of the Los Angeles Rams all offseason. Fresh topics. We're going to be nearing the free agency mark, the draft. Start getting into all of that stuff. It's going to be very fun. But we got to wrap up with these last few questions before we get into all of that. And there are two very good questions here. My favorite of the day, probably, here from my guy Carl at Carl_NoWinslow. Who do you think will be the next Rams homegrown star to get paid, i.e., Cooper Kupp last season? That is a good question. I had some trouble thinking about who I wanted to pick for this spot. I tried to gauge who are the best players, who are the homegrown talents to obviously fit that criteria, who might get a decent amount of money, and who's coming up on a contract extension or the final year of their contract or even free agency right now. And all of these things considered, I think I got to go with cornerback Darius Williams, my guy, my BFF. If you guys know on Twitter, it's a running joke. Darius Williams, man, I think I got to go with him. He's so good. I think he qualifies as a homegrown star now. You know, he was originally on the Baltimore Ravens and then cut and then picked up by the Rams on waivers. So kind of had a little bit of a detour there. He wasn't drafted by the Rams or anything like that, but he did nothing with the Ravens. Let's be honest here. He was, I believe, on their practice squad maybe. Then he goes to the Rams and then he has to put in a lot of legwork, man. This is a guy who has obviously a ton of motivation and perseverance. Like, this isn't a dude that just stepped into the starting lineup and started. I mean, he had to play behind guys like Aqib Talib and Marcus Peters and Trumaine Johnson. And now, you know, all these new guys, even dating back to last year in 2019, is like, this wasn't a guy that just stepped into stardom. And then when you think about, you know, playing on the practice squad for the Rams for however long it was, then getting up to the 53-man roster and being a special teamer, and then finally working his way into a starting role this past season, the dude is so impressive. And when you consider, obviously, he is a restricted free agent coming up here in a few weeks. So I do think the Rams are going to find a way to bring him back. You know, you slap the first round tender on him and essentially he's going to be back unless a team, you know, is willing to actually part with a first round pick and then pay him another $15 million a year or however much it may cost to get him, which I don't think is going to happen. And if that's the case, he's going to come back to the Rams. And I do think that they're going to be interested in extending him long term, and they should be. This is a guy who's a star. He's only about 26, I believe, and it's a passing league. If there's any position you want to invest in outside of your quarterback and your actual passing offense, it's the ability to try and stop passing offenses. And you have Jalen Ramsey on one side, an absolute star, probably the best corner in football. Why not bring back Darius Williams, who is, for my money, the best second corner on any team for sure, and he would probably be the best corner on a lot of teams as well. I mean, this is a guy who I think is a top 10, maybe top 15 guaranteed cornerback in football right now. Why not pay him? You slap the tender on him, start working on that long-term extension, and if it gets done now, great. If he has to play the year out on the tender and then you get it done in the next offseason or, you know, mid-season or post next season, whatever it might be, I think that would be very wise of the Rams, and I would love to see Darius Williams around for a long time. So I'm going to go with D-Will. Makes too much sense. Absolute star. He's homegrown. He's a guy you can trust, high character, and a tremendous player. So that's the kind of guy I would feel real good about inking to a long-term deal. And on to our final question. Rams fans, I know you guys love the uniforms. Everyone loves the uniforms. My guy at Ran underscore 215 beats, he said, what's your guess on what the 2021 jerseys will look like? And if you guys aren't aware, last offseason when the Rams revealed their new jerseys, the bone and the royal and the soul, they had an image, a graphic where there was five players kind of drawn on this graphic, and it showed the three new uniforms, which was the classic blue and yellow, and then the all blue look, and then the all bone look for 2020. And the last two players, the two graphics, were not shaded in, so it's just a plain white graphic, and they didn't show the two new uniforms that they're going to release, one in 2021 and one in 2022. So we're going to get a new uniform combination here in this next season, and then another one again next season. And there's been a lot of speculation as to what it may be, and I'm not exactly sure. It could be really anything. You know, at this point, they introduced all these different things to the uniform. I wouldn't be shocked if they really, you know, went left field and just did something completely different and crazy. But I'm going to try to stick to something a little bit more traditional. I feel like, you know, they're going to try and introduce something a little bit fun, but at the same time, a little bit of a spinoff of what we currently have. And that's why I'm going to go with either an all yellow look, yellow tops, yellow pants, or yellow tops and some sort of bone pant combination. So I think there's going to be a majority yellow uniform coming up here. It's just a guess. I don't know for sure. But if they already have the combinations that they currently have, why not go for something a little bit more yellow and mimic maybe something similar to those 90s teams, the ones that went to the Super Bowl? You know, I don't think it's going to be very similar in terms of a white or bone top with a tiny bit of accent yellow and then yellow pants, which I would love, but I don't think that you're going to do that. I think they're going to kind of stray more off the path here because these last two uniforms, they're going to be alternate uniforms. They can wear them whenever they want. They're not going to be, you know, the home or the away. And so why not kind of take a step off into a different direction, do something a little bit different, a little bit more modern, similar to what they did with these redesigns, which I think they absolutely crushed. I think they've earned, you know, the right for us to trust them. And so I'm expecting something majority yellow, but I'm just guessing at this point. It's going to be fun to see what they concoct, and I'm here for it. So let's have some fun. Let's do something fresh, something new, get this new generation of Rams fans something that they can identify with, similar to how we all did 10, 15, 20 years ago in our youths. That is all for this episode. As always, you guys know I appreciate you guys for sticking around this long, checking into another episode of the Locked On Rams Pod, and please keep checking back in with us next week for Monday when we come back to you with another episode. We're going to continue the best offseason coverage of the Los Angeles Rams here at the Locked On Rams Podcast. And just a reminder, come connect with us on Twitter. You can find me at QB's MEP, and you can find the page at Locked On Rams. Please subscribe or follow to get our latest episodes, content, breaking news, and a whole lot more.